This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bovee and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Welcome to the post-AFC East Divisional Championship episode of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bovee, five straight AFC East Division Championships for the Buffalo Bills after a 35-10 victory over the San Francisco 49ers in a game that really was kind of like, I don't know, maybe only in doubt for the first few minutes, and then the Bills walked away with it.
They're very good. They're really, and it's not like that's breaking news. It's not like I'm telling you something that you don't know. They are steamrolling teams. They are just really dominant on both sides of the ball. I think they've got the best player in the NFL right now leading the way. Like, they're just a really good team, and I think the sky is the limit for what they can accomplish.
Three total touchdowns for Josh Allen. He not only broke Jim Kelly's record for most total touchdowns in a Buffalo Bills career, but he also had a signature play, which is, I think you need these if you're going to win MVP. He had one against the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago with the run, and then the lateral from Amari Cooper. Now, look, if I'm a 49ers fan, I'm thinking, why wasn't the whistle blown? But it wasn't, and Amari Cooper pitched it back to Josh Allen, and Josh Allen took it in.
I love the explanation from them after the game. Basically, Amari said that he didn't know why Josh was standing behind him, so he just decided, they looked each other in the eye, and he was like, looks like he wants the ball, so he pitched it to him. And then Josh Allen dove towards the corner of the end zone, and he's obviously so tall that he can reach out that far and extend his arm, hit the pylon, get the touchdown. It's one of the plays of the year, which is funny because he probably has the play of the year from the Chiefs game a couple weeks ago. Just what he's doing, he caught, threw, and ran for a touchdown today. I believe I saw he's the only player ever to do that in the same game. Other people have done it in the same season, but not in the same game.
Oh, really? Someone sent me something. I thought there were three other guys.
Yeah, Bill's PR posted something, but I actually think...
Here's the thing, though. Here was the issue we had, and we were trying to figure this out. What is it statistically? It's not a catch, but it is a reception. It is a touchdown, receiving touchdown, but he did not get credited for a catch in this game.
So he received a touchdown, ran for a touchdown, and threw a touchdown. I don't exactly know the stat, but
it's kind of weird.
I'm going to look it up right now while you're talking. Regardless, it doesn't change the fact that he is just an absolute right here. Josh Allen is the first quarterback to ever do this
quarterback
in the same game. First quarterback, yes,
right.
Yes.
Okay,
so
there were three other players who did it.
Oh, okay. LT, and then Walter Payton looks like one of the other ones, and I don't know who.
LaDainian Tomlinson? Yeah. Okay, so you said that one, and then who is it? Oh, David Patton, believe it or not, of the Patriots.
I don't remember David Patton at all, so I don't know.
Patriots for a Super Bowl. I know. We got Tim Graham of The Athletic looking over here like, how do you not? Yeah. You should know.
When did David Patton play?
Early 2000s. He was a 2001 wide receiver for Tom Brady, and he's on that list.
I was nine years old.
Speaking of the Bills division, Tim Graham said something about him playing the Bills division. Since 2002, the realignment of the Bills division, the AFC East, when the Colts used to be in it, they are now just the fourth team in the NFL to clinch a division with still five games remaining.
Yeah.
That's how far out in front they are. Look, your point is absolutely valid. It also speaks to how bad the AFC East is. But they still have a really great opportunity to still go forward. And they talked about getting the one seed is still very much in the front view of this team.
Yeah, I like that. That's what the messaging is after the game. Josh Allen, we are chasing the one seed. I think that's the mindset that they need to have. Now, of course, they cannot control everything. They need the Chiefs to lose a game or potentially two for the Bills to get there. They don't give themselves any wiggle room here because they are still a game or a half game behind the Chiefs. So, yeah, I mean, I like that. I also like Josh Allen's point about, hey, this is going to let us play free. And it's not like they haven't played well not playing free, but it is funny what changes when, you know, the consequences maybe are not as high, right? It's like, oh, maybe I'll try and fit this ball in somewhere because what's the worst that happens? We're the two seed or the three seed instead of missing the playoffs completely. So I like the mindset. And I also just think, like, yeah, the division, it's funny. 10 and a half weeks ago, 11 weeks ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Not the favorites to win the division. And they have it locked up on December 1st.
No doubt. And I remember when they were 3-2 heading to the Jets, and the Jets could have overtaken first place on that Monday night game of the Jets. The Bills won that game. And since then, this is their seventh straight victory, counting that game till now. Seventh straight victory for Buffalo Bills, 35-10 over the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Some standouts in this game. The run game, 220 yards on the ground for the Buffalo Bills, over 5 yards a carry. In fact, I had it up here a minute ago. Let me just check the exact number yards per carry. I'll pull it up right here. For the Buffalo Bills, 5.8 yards a carry, 220 yards on 38 carries.
Yeah, they were super efficient, and the 49ers defense is good, but they're banged up. They're banged up as an entire team. They got gashed a little bit on the ground in the last game that they played. In a snow game, it's not a surprise that the Bills really leaned into, obviously, running the ball. And I think it's already an advantage. Like, the snow games make an advantage, an even bigger advantage for the offense, right? Like, the offense is controlling where they go. The defense is trying to react, and they're trying to react with not great footing. And it's just that much harder. So not a huge surprise, because not for anything, the 49ers averaged 5.7 yards a carry.
Right.
The Bills averaged 5.8 yards a carry, but still, obviously, a really impressive game from James Cook. And then also Ray Davis is just a really, really nice player.
And Ty Johnson finishing him off in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Those runs were really big for him.
Yeah, for sure. I just think they've got, I don't want to call it a three-headed monster because it is still clearly James Cook's backfield, but I do think Ray Davis and Ty Johnson kind of provide a nice differing play style than what James Cook is able to do. And I think good teams need that.
Two things about the run game I want to bring up. Number one, it was slow going at first. The Bills went three and out. I thought a great adjustment was made when they went under center and started going downhill. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in a shotgun and you have to kind of move left and right a little bit with the footing, that makes it a little more difficult. The Bills went under center. They went downhill. That was a big deal. And like you said, offense has an advantage. What I saw from field level was both teams' defenders at the second and third level, Matt, they had trouble getting into their run gaps because they could not anchor and get to where they needed to go, which obviously hurt the Bills, but on defense, it also helped the Bills. And then you had one of the biggest ones that this was evident in, James Cook's 65-yard touchdown run. How about James Cook finally getting one and taking it to the house?
Yeah, I think that was the longest touchdown of his career, rushing touchdown of his career. I think that obviously the explosive plays are nice to see. And I just think that it's another, it shows us again how balanced this team can be. I know the conditions were not great, and I know that both teams are obviously playing in it, but they have different ways that they can win games. They need to play in a shootout, and Josh Allen needs to throw the ball 40 times. He's capable of doing that. They're capable of winning. If they need to run the ball 38 times like they did today, they're capable of being effective and winning there. Another thing that I really liked, and it ended up, the first two drives, it was not good. Then it ended up getting better. First down efficiency. They started slow, then they started to, you know, bite off a couple more yards on those early downs, and it made it more manageable for the rest of the game.
No doubt about it. You mentioned the numbers real quick. 38 for 220 for the Bills, 5.8 yards a carry, 27 for 153 for the 49ers. They did a nice job running the football. Like we said, the Bills had some tough sledding trying to stop them. Really tough situation for Christian McCaffrey tonight. It looks like he's going to be done for a while, maybe the season. He walked by us in the tunnel after you saw it or not, but he had crutches, a big brace on his right knee, and I believe someone told me there was a report of a PCL injury.
PCL, yeah, and I believe Shanahan said that he's going to miss the rest of the season, which stinks for such a fantastic player. I mean, look what he was able to do in the game. I mean, he had 53 yards on 7 carries, and he had 14 yards on 2 catches before he got injured very early in the game. He was a difference maker when he was on the field. He's really good, and it stinks to see a player like that get hurt.
Well, the Bills 35-10 over the San Francisco 49ers. They move on to LA next week. We'll talk about that. But a couple other real quick notes that we want to touch on here. Offensive line to me played terrific in this game. Not only was Josh Allen not sacked, I just looked it up. The 49ers were credited with one quarterback hit, one, the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, what they've done this year, it's something we talk about on our Monday Leading the Charge show on Channel 7 a lot. It's that this is the best offensive line Josh Allen has had. David Edwards has been fantastic. Obviously, the tackle play is exceptional. Connor McGovern's transition to center has gone really smooth. Osiris Torrance looks like just a guy who's going to play in this league for a long, long time. And then the name that we're not mentioning that we should, they use Alec Anderson a lot. And he's very effective when he's in the game. That lets them run the ball, but it also lets them disguise things every once in a while. There's a lot to like about their offensive line, and specifically even Alec Anderson as the sixth guy.
And they've done this without Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid the last few weeks, right? Yeah. I mean, they're scoring 30 points at an incredible pace right now. I'm going to just bring this up for a second. The Buffalo Bills, let's take a look. I want to get this right. So here's the Bills. Let's take a look at their schedule. Look at this. There's the last six games. Yeah. 35, 30, 30, 30, 31, 34. It's unbelievable. They keep scoring 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. No Keon, no Dalton Kincaid. And how about the guys stepping up like Dawson Knox? Boy, the colder it gets, the more Dawson Knox heats up, it seems like, mm-hmm. right? And that, by the way, that wasn't me who said that. Chris Brown and Eric Wood said that, one of them in the radio booth. And I'm like, that's right. It seems like whenever you get in these like colder weather situations, the bigger tight end comes through when he needs to make a couple big catches. He had a game high 56 yards in this game.
Yeah, and a couple nice catches. And I think that for some reason, I know that that's a true point, and it also is shown in the playoffs, right? Yeah. Dawson Knox in the playoffs has been Josh Allen's arguably favorite.
Doesn't he have like a streak of playoff games with TDs?
Yeah, well, I mean, it feels like every game that they play in the playoffs, he has a touchdown in some capacity. So I know the contract is big, and I know that Dalton Kincaid is the stronger receiving threat, but having both of those guys I think is really, really important, especially down the road, because teams have taken away Dalton Kincaid, or they've tried to take away Dalton Kincaid. And oh, by the way, the Bills did this again tonight without Dalton Kincaid and without Keon Coleman. Yeah. So two other weapons that I think are very important to them that they will be getting back at some point. But that also transitions us to the conversation of other guys stepping up, like Matt Collins. It's a really nice catch in a difficult situation.
Yes. His only catch of the game was terrific.
Yeah, it's a great play.
And big.
Matt Collins is doing for them what they hoped last year Trent Sherfield would do. And I'm not talking about the type of player. I'm just talking about, like, every once in a while, we're going to need you to make a play or have a big game. And that's what he's been able to do for them. And then, you know, Quentin Morris only has one, but a 14-yard catch for him. Right. So shout out him. And then, yeah, you know, Amari Cooper, three catches for 12 yards.
In a lateral
is a pretty funny stat line. Yeah, nobody lit it up in the passing game today, but that's not to be expected.
A couple guys I want to talk about on defense. Let's start with Matt Milano. If you had any questions at all about what the Bills thought about Matt Milano and integrating him back into this defense, I wouldn't at all. Not only did Matt Milano start, Matt, I'm telling you, he didn't come off the field except in dime situations. Yeah. He was on the field in every run situation and more so.
Yeah, I mean, no such thing as like them easing him back into this. They were just like trial by fire, get out there and go. And Sean McDermott told us after the game today that they told Milano they were going to use him a lot on early downs. And then
Milano said, I'm going to sneak on the field on third down.
I'm going to sneak on the field on third down if you don't let me play. So I think that's a promising sign. You know, there's some rust and it's going to take a little bit of time. But given how much time he has missed, I feel like, you know, this is going to be a player that continues to ascend. So I think that that's obviously a good sign for them. There's a couple shout out guys I want to specifically shout out on defense. So if you have somebody, go ahead.
No, I wanted to say something about Cole Bishop on special teams. He had a really nice game. He had a great tackle on a Deebo Samuel kick return, and then he forced the fumble a little bit later. Now, he also had the penalty. I get it on Codrington. You can't overlook that. But I thought Cole Bishop is an example of a guy who, hey, that's his role right now. He's not a starting safety. He wants to be a starting safety. They drafted him in the second round. But right now, his role is to make plays on special teams. And I thought he made two big plays in special teams.
Yeah, I think that that's a good sign. They do got to clean up the special teams, though, because Deebo Samuel did have a couple big returns in this game. Now, Deebo Samuel's a special player, but still something to monitor. The two guys I want to specifically give a shout out to, Greg Rousseau is phenomenal. He is so good. I know he's going up against a banged up offensive line, but still, Greg Rousseau made several huge plays in this game. And Taylor Rapp is another guy who just makes plays. He forces the fumble from Juszczyk at the goal line. They take it back and Christian Benford scoops it up. He also had a really good game, Christian Benford. But yeah, I mean, what's it say? Greg Rousseau, four tackles.
Four tackles, three for loss, sack and the fumble recovery.
Yeah, and I mean,
and a quarterback hit.
Yeah, and on one of them, you know, Purdy is rolling out to, I believe, his right, and he's able to chase him down. That's not an easy play to make, especially when you don't have your footing in the snow. He's able to bring him down. We have seen at times Greg Rousseau take over games, and I thought that he flashed again today. And yeah, I mean, like, not a surprise. surprise Benford has a solid game, but Taylor Rapp has been somebody who's just continued to impress me as the season has gone on.
On special teams, real quick, I know that Tyler Bass missed the 49-yarder, but five extra points in these conditions, mm-hmm. 5 for 5, that's nice. You'd love him to make the 49-yard field goal. It had the distance. It was pushed a little bit to the left, but considering the other kicker missed two field goals, mm-hmm. you know, Tyler Bass hitting five extra points, good sign in this weather.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the 49-yarder, right, like it was just kind of a, hey, you got to kick it because what else are you going to do? You're not going to punt it at that point on the field. The conditions were really bad. And I know a lot of people watched on TV. The people that were here can attest to just how crummy it was outside. So certainly not a kick that you expect him to make. It would have been nice if he did, but I don't think anybody's like, oh, he's got to make that one.
No. Okay, so the Bills on to next week in L.A., SoFi Stadium against the Rams, who picked up a late win against the New Orleans Saints this week. They won 21-14. The Bills go to that game and, you know, obviously still looking for the one seed. But what's going to happen is if this game, the Bills do win this game next week at L.A. against the Rams, they can sit back and watch. Well, I guess it would be on the plane ride home.
Yeah.
The Chargers are at the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, which is a big game for them.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That is a really good game. I am quickly looking up. I want to know what the line is for the game next week between the Bills and Rams to see if it's already.
I'm going to guess Bills by 4.5. Oh, 4. Tim Graham says 4. Thank you. I was going to guess 4.5, but the Bills should be favored. And look, I know the Rams have some firepower. I don't think that the Rams can keep up with the Buffalo Bills. I think that they can play some good ball at times. I don't know if they're consistent enough or high level enough to be able to play with the Buffalo Bills.
Playing for their season. They're still very much in the mix in the NFC West. I like their receivers a lot. I like Kyron Williams a lot. I think they've got some nice players. So I certainly would not count them out. I think they're actually a pretty good
Agreed. Team. All right. Well, we'll see what happens then because we'll have a lot more information this week to talk to you about. What are we watching this week? Oh, real quick. Injuries on the Bills side. I will tell you from the sidelines, I did not have one single report of an official injury. Mm-hmm. We did see Terrell Bernard getting worked on a little bit. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that maybe Josh Hamm was shaking out his left hand a little bit, I didn't see. Did you see that?
That was a big focus on, I think, the Bills' second drive. Yeah, the Ray Davis touchdown drive. The quarterback run on third down, Josh Allen got his hand hit pretty hard. And he said after the game, he was in a ton of pain. He said it hit his not so funny bone, hit his hand. It felt like his hand was on fire.
Okay.
And it felt like it was more of like a really hurt than an injured type situation. Like, I don't think there was an injury to it.
Just feeling pain.
But just was in a lot of pain.
Okay.
And that eventually did wear off as the game moved on. But yeah, no, that was definitely for a couple drives every time something happened. The TV, because in the press box, obviously, you're watching the game on the field, but then you can look up and see the TV. You would see them cutting to Josh Allen shaking his hand, grabbing his hand.
Because I never saw a trainer look at his hand.
Yeah, well, I think after the Ray Davis touchdown, he ran to the bench, and we were all looking to see if he needed to get any sort of further medical attention. He didn't. And then the next time he was on the field, he handed it off to James Cook with the hand that was injured. And then that was a good sign. But, you know, I definitely think that it was something that was bothering him a bit over the course of the game.
He also grabbed the ball that he broke the record with from Jim Kelly, took that right to the sidelines as well for a trainer.
Real nonchalant about that after the game. He was very just like, I know that he didn't want to take the focus off of the win or anything like that, but he was like, yeah, it's cool. Means a lot, but not something that I'm really thinking about too much. I mean, it's a big accomplishment. It's really, really crazy that he was able to do that.
That's what happens when you get engaged, you mellow out a little bit, right?
Yeah, right. He said it was a really good week for him. One other thing, and this is just kind of like a very general thought observation. You see the clip of Sean McDermott and Josh Allen making the snow angels?
I saw them doing it on the field.
This is a new version of this team. Yeah. Like Sean McDermott, I feel like either the walls have come down a little bit or he's just having more fun. It just feels like genuinely there's something different about this team. And there's not really a way of quantifying it or explaining it, but they just feel like they're really on the same page and really enjoying everything. I don't know if the expectations on the outside made them have a bit of a chip on their shoulder of like, you guys don't think we're going to win the division. And then they do it on December 1st. And they're like, hey, look at what we can do. I just think there's something special here, right? It just feels
like it. I agree.
It feels different. We've both covered the team for a long time. And it felt like this a bit in 2020, the COVID year. And I remember coming to the practice before the last practice before the playoff game, the wild card game. And there was the whole can't touch this video, that viral video of them dancing on the field. And a bunch of people took that the wrong way. They're like, this team isn't serious. Look at them, like, you know, not paying attention to their matchup against the Colts. I hope the Colts run over them. And it was like, no, they're just like, this is who they are. They're fun. They're loose. They're relaxed. And it feels very much like that this year. They're 10-2. So every 10-2 team would probably feel this way, but there's just something a little different about it. And I you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I like AJ Epinesa's quote in the locker room. He said, "We're not about chasing numbers, we're about chasing letters, W's." That's a pretty cool quote.
Well, I like that. And I also like the fact that they're acknowledging that this is a nice accomplishment, but that they have a lot more that they want to do. This team is very good. Like we said to start this episode of the podcast, they're capable of beating anybody. I think they know they're capable of beating anybody. So I feel like they're not trying to get too high because they know, like, hey, we think we can be winning games in January and maybe even February, and that's when we'll celebrate.
All right, so we said no injuries from this game to report. We'll check with Sean McDermott on Monday. He'll have an update on that. The ones we'll be watching for this week, though, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, and maybe even Dwayne Carter coming back from injured reserve.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Carter and Keon Coleman both play in the next game, just based off of the way that practice has gone and just the last couple weeks have gone. I know they would have to make a corresponding move to get Dwayne Carter back to the active roster. I don't know if they would have Kincaid come back after several weeks of not practicing. It feels like the way they've handled things, they would probably get Kincaid back out to practice and then have him come back maybe a week later, potentially for the Lions game. But I do think that there's a really strong chance we see Keon and we see Dwayne Carter.
Bills Rams next Sunday in LA. We'll have a lot more for you as the week unfolds. Thanks a lot to our producer, Mike Robbier. And of course, you can always follow us, download us, listen on audio, watch on video at Sal Sports on YouTube. And of course, wherever you get your podcasts. For Matt, I'm Sal. All right, buddy. Be safe driving home, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say this commute is about to get pretty tricky. So we'll see how long it takes to get back to Grand Island.
Maybe by the time that we post this up on video, they may be in their car still waiting to get out of the parking lot and they can start watching it. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight.